The Corian Football Club podcast is kindly sponsored by the Lodge Hotel, famous for food, functions, and fantastic value.
Welcome along once again to the Corian, official Corian FC podcast. It's the start of a new season, a new series of podcasts, and we have a new sponsor for this year as well. I'm delighted to say that our new sponsors this year are none other than the Lodge Hotel, Corian's leading town centre hotel. And obviously, many of us will probably be there at the start of September for Lyndon Kane's testimonial dinner, which is coming up very, very quickly. So, according to my sources, i.e. Johnny McNabb, tickets are selling very well for the dinner. So if you're planning to go, the advice would be to get yours booked shortly. And of course, the Lodge Hotel, long-time supporters of Corian Football Club, and well known for the best sort of roast on the coast, the Carvery, which is available every day in Elliot's Bistro, well priced as well. And having been there a few times myself, I can thoroughly recommend it. But enough about that. As I said, it's a whole new season, a new series of podcasts, but some things don't change. And my co-host Johnny McNabb is still with us. Johnny, how was your summer, basically? I know we seen each other last Friday, but apart from that, we had the summer off.
Yeah, some of us were able to go to Italy and others aren't. So, you were the lucky one. Look, I thought it flew in, to be perfectly honest. Usually it feels like it takes a while, but no, it flew in. I think covering a few games in Europe for the paper and that, and then obviously just other things. I think it just quickly comes round. And last week was just mental between Orne deciding to turn into Del Boy and signing about 15 players and an away kit being launched and everyone else. So, no, listen, it all just flies around and I'm just glad it's back. And we'll have to listen to the wife on a Saturday afternoon.
You're a brave boy, I can tell you. As I said, it's a new season. And with that, always there's new faces, new signings in the squad as well. And one of the new signings and one of the first signings of the summer, I'm pleased and delighted to say, joins us in the podcast this week. And a very warm welcome back, I suppose I could say, to Davey McDade, our special guest this week. Davey, welcome back, first of all, to the podcast and also to Corian Football Club as well.
Cheers, thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, as I said, you know, Orne, I think, has made five signings during the summer, but I think you were one of the first ones, and I think you're already on record as saying that from your point of view, you were happy that the business was done nice and early because it gave you time then to get assimilated back into the club very quickly, join your colleagues and get used to pre-season training. And how important is that when you're a new player at a new club that you can get in early and get bedded in?
Yeah, for me, I think for everybody, really, it's if you're coming in the end of pre-season, you haven't got familiar, even though you know the players, it's still not the same. Like, I was there before, I was only here for a short stint for like 6 months, but just getting in amongst the boys, training them, people different banter in the dress rooms, you find sort of your place, so to be, and then obviously playing games is the most important thing, and that familiarity, so it was really good to get it done early doors, and for me, like, I was happy.
And we were saying there, you know, you'd obviously been at the club before for a very short period of time, and you upset Johnny by leaving on the first occasion, but we'll not go into that. But I was just looking, that was 10 years ago, Davey. I mean, where have you been?
Everywhere.
Is it the old saying that more clubs than Jack Nicklaus? Is that they always say?
Yeah, I always use time because you're showing your age here, but.
But I mean, we joke, but I mean, the first occasion that you came, you were obviously doing very well, but then you'd left and everything else. I'm just wondering, like, you've obviously been away and had a good career in between times, and I'm just thinking, when you arrive back at Korean now, I mean, how different, or is there much different to the club that you'd been at previously?
Yeah, there's definitely a difference. Everything's more professional. When I first came, I think it wasn't just Korean, I think it was the whole league of Irish football. As you say, 10 years is a long time. And being away, playing down south, and then coming back north and being Larne in that full-time environment, coming to Korean, Korean's actually a lot better than what I thought. And I'd say the majority of people that join Korean find that quickly. Like me and Graham Kelly were talking, and I joined Larne at the start before they started the transformation. Like Korean was in a much better situation. I don't want to really talk much about the investors, but because I don't know much about it, but they're actually they have a solid ground for the foundation, the pitch, the gym and all that. But no, it's definitely get more professional.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny, you remember when Davey first was here? I was just looking at it prior to coming onto the podcast as well, and when Davey joined, you know, Korean were struggling, weren't they? You know, they were in the lower reaches of the Premiership, the league at that particular time when Davey first came to the club. And when you look back, and given recent years and the success or the competitiveness of Korean, it's hard to equate that with the Korean that Davey was with, first of all.
It's like night and day, I think, Damien, to be honest. The whole club's just totally just went on a journey. And yeah, it's really since the first Irish Cup final when we were beat by Linfield, but since then it's just been on a really upwards trajectory. And what Davey said there about players coming in and see, like, there's so many players that have said the exact same, you know, coming from the full-time environment, like Lee Lynch would say the same as well. So I think the big thing, and knowing Oran as we do, he gets maybe 4 or 5 hours with the players in the 2 days, but he makes sure he makes the best use of it. And then obviously trust the players by themselves. They keep themselves ticking over. So, no, yeah, look, it's great. They obviously bring in the likes of Davey and Graham, who've obviously come from a full-time environment too, and the experiences that they have, both playing and, you know, at a full-time level, both sides of the border. So, no, yeah, look, it's been a really, really good transfer window. And then obviously you look at Darren Cole as well. He was obviously at Rangers. And then you've Jake Wallace and Lee Harkin, who came from full-time academies in England. So, no, yeah, look, I think the recruitment's been really, really good.
Mm. From a playing point of view, Davey, is it difficult to make the transition? Because, as we all know, you were full-time with Larne. And then last year, I suppose you were at Ballymena, and now you're at Korean, who aren't full-time. How difficult is the transition? Or maybe it isn't. I mean, do you still, I suppose, perform or act like full-time, even though you're not full-time at the club, but you still see yourself as a full-time footballer, if you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, well, last year was slightly different because I was on a full-time contract, so I was full-time, but everybody else, I think, and me, I was only 2 full-time players at the club. But it's definitely the nutrition wise, and it might sound silly, but see, training at night is so much harder because you can't eat like too much before training, and then you can't eat much. Well, you're not meant to eat much after training because it's too close to you going to bed. So it's so that's a part I struggle with, is eating that lit because you're finishing training by the time you get home, it's dinner, and you don't want to eat, but you sort of have to eat as well. So that's things like small things that got there is the adjustments. But no, I love it. Like I love, don't get me wrong, if the opportunity was there and Corey were going full time, like right now, like I would be all for it. But it's part time is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, is it a big jump for a club like Korean, such as they are now, that sort of hybrid model, if you like, how big the jump would it be then for them to go full-time professional like Alarn, for example, how difficult would that be, do you think? I know it's a difficult question for you to answer, but I mean, is there a massive step up there?
Yeah, there is. There is, because it's, you just can't go from being part-time and go straight full-time. It's going to, like you say, first of all, people, you'll have to go the hybrid model for maybe a year or two and then go full-time, because one, the players, you have to filter out and go full-time for starters. And you just can't be that and just, here, you can't go full-time, so you have to go right now. Like a year, and then your recruitment for the next 2 years, say four transfer windows, has to be people who can do full time. So then you get a level, and then from there, it's easier. Once you get the players in, it's a lot easier to go full time.
It is difficult, Johnny, when Davey explains it, because, you know, to uninformed people, you think, nah, it's just a question of just one season, you're part-time, and then you can just flick the switch almost and go full-time. But as Davey's explaining, it obviously takes a lot of planning, and I suppose that's where the rumoured potential investment in Korean is going to be vitally important, isn't it, if it comes to fruition?
Yeah, there's one of the things, you just can't, you know, click your fingers and suddenly, you know, you're a full-time club, and, you know, you need like a full-time physio, full-time doctor, full-time chef. You know, do you get, you know, do you build, you know, do you rent out apartments? You know, all these different things could come into play. You know, certain players, you know, like Stephen Lowry or Stephen O'Donnell, and they've got good jobs outside of football, so will it suit them? You've got players at the club who are still have maybe 2 or 3 years left in their contract. You can't go full time. So what do you do in that scenario? So yeah, there's just a whole lot of different things they go down. My own personal view is that it would be good, as long as obviously the safeguarding of the club is paramount. So I think it's the only way you're going to really compete moving forward. Like I looked at, and I said this last year, I think it's the first year I've really seen the full-time teams really, really kicking on. You know, you've got Larne, the Glens, Crusaders even. I suppose they're a hybrid model in Linfield. So, yeah, it's the nearest. It's probably going to have to be the only way to get really near them.
It is, Davey, isn't it? Because the longer the situation goes on with the full-time clubs like the Larnes, etc., the longer they stay full-time and the other clubs aren't full-time, then it's going to be increasingly difficult for the likes of a Corian or a Ballymena to try to keep tabs with them, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Just to what Dan was saying there, the big thing as well is about, like, people, like, you have to be faithful to people. Just say for, like, Stevie Lowry, you just can tell Stevie Lowry next year you can't be here, Stevie O'Donnell. Like, you have to be faithful to the people who's done well for you over things. So like that hybrid that I was talking about is like people who have jobs. If you can come in the morning, you can come in the morning and do that. If you can't, you can't. But you should give them a year, maybe 2 years, to try and filter that in, and then after 2 years, you get a point. But back to what you're saying, your question was, yeah, the full time teams are going to pull away if you can't keep up. That's I still work at Larne. I'm still in coaching at Larne, so like I see what they're striving to do, and they don't seem like they're going to stop. So I can't imagine your Linfield and Antoine, they're not going to let them pull away. So the M3 are just going to keep going, and Crusaders are trying to emulate that, but they're sort of like a step ahead of us, as you would say, Corian, because they're a hybrid, if you get me. Mm-hmm. They're in between the full-time and the part-time. So, no, it is the only way, but again, you can't do it if you don't have financial backing. You just can't do it. It's impossible.
It and it's frustrating, because I, like, we all know the likes, like Oren, for example, he is very competitive. He's pride in the club, the way he does, and he doesn't want to be left behind, you know. So he is obviously doing his best with the resources that he has at the moment, but he would love to be full time, I'm sure, to be on an equal footing with the Larnes and the Linfields as well. And it could be frustrating for maybe a manager or player and or players, Davey, as well, if you feel like you're not on a level playing field, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, if you're, it's tough to see from, because see if you do games in a week, I always say it. So see if you've, see during just after lockdown, when everybody played two games a week, see being full time, we're relevant because you didn't get the train. So you had no advantage of being full time. And I was in Lara at the time, and we had no advantage of being full time because you didn't have extra training days, and it was just constant recovery, which everybody was doing anyway. But with everything settled now, it's just, I don't know, it's the games when they're two games a week, you're fine. But when you're just one game a week, they get extra time. They set up how they're playing. And I'm sure I would love, not speaking of form, obviously, but I'm sure I would love more time on the pitch for the players.
I know that's... It's what you dream about, isn't it? I mean, and from a fan's point of view too, Johnny, you're a fan as much as anything, as you are a reporter. You know, any fan wants to see their club having the best benefit, if you like, to be competitive. And if that means ultimately going full-time, then that's probably the road that a majority of clubs in the Irish League are going to have to look at if they want to keep tabs with the leading clubs.
Yeah, like I had an argument, well not an argument, a debate more or less with a few fans there, and like my, you know, either way, you just accept finishing fifth and sixth and having a really good cup run, or, you know, we take the investment, safeguard the club, and then have a go and try and, you know, be sustainable ourselves in terms of, you know, trying to win the league or getting into Europe and things like that. So, you know, only three or four teams qualify for Europe out of the Irish League every year, and, you know, if the top three are coming from, you know, Linfield, Larne, and Linfield, you know, it's, or the Glens even, sorry, it makes it even more difficult. So, yeah, that's just the landscape of the way the league is going. And Corian's probably the club, and maybe even Cliftonville too, they're both at a crossroads where they either have to go for it or they don't. That's my own opinion. I think they're the two clubs that are near that. And yeah, like I always say about Corian, they're the only club in the Northwest that's in the top flight. Obviously, Derry playing the League of Ireland. So the catchment area is massive. You look at our crowds, you look at even from everywhere to, you know, look at the job, good job Clement's doing, you know, with sponsors and mascots and everyone else. The club is just on a trajectory and it's only upwards. So, yeah, it would be absolutely great as a fan, first and foremost, and see what Oran can do with more time and with the players and the recovery and everyone else. So, yeah, I think we've done really, really well to maintain and be competitive, but I think that'll only last so long, and I just think that we really, really need to go and hopefully get investment and go full-time.
I'm not saying, I don't want to be controversial saying like, oh, you can't keep up on, because it is going to be tough in the long run. Cliftonville have proved you can. So I don't want to be on anyone who can do it or anything. Like, obviously, you have the confidence that the team can't keep up on, but in the long term, you're talking 5 years down the line. If Corain or Cliftonville stay at the same pedestal, they will eventually pull away where it's going to be impossible.
Yeah, that I think that's the big fear. You know, at the minute, the part-time clubs can hang on the coattails and they can get the odd, or not the odd, but they can get results and they can be competitive. But the longer a scenario like that goes on where the full-time teams have all the benefits, you know, eventually they will pull away. And I suppose you look at any football league anywhere in the world, you look at the Premier League in England or in Scotland or maybe in Spain, and it generally seems to be the teams with the most resources, money, players, whatever you like, dominate the leagues. And that would be the fear here, Davey, wouldn't it? That a similar scenario would develop where you would have, like Johnny said, maybe two, three clubs competing every year and the rest of them not being competitive enough.
Yeah, well, we've had it for so long. We Longfield dominated the league for, I don't know how many years. I couldn't count or see after the game. But now it's actually good to see that it's mixed up a wee bit. As in there, you've got Glen Torn in there, and Crusaders are going to be massive this year. They're really strong. Shine really well. Obviously, Baxter, that's all good for me. And and then you add Olsen Klovenvall into the mix as well, and it's going to be good. And then you have to be think that you have a chance of obviously getting a top four, getting your people.
Yeah, I mean, you've arrived at the club. Obviously, you know a lot of the guys already there. You know, there's ones probably there from your first stint here. There's a good Larne connection from players that you had played with at Inverpark that are now at Corian as well. In terms of what the ambitions are for this season, Davey, there's a good squad there. I mean, do you talk about it as a group, or is it not mentioned, but you just take it, say, step by step, game at a time, that sort of idea?
Well, to be honest, we haven't, like, as a team where we've sat down with the manager, I think it's just one game at a time. I think that's the way one works. But players talk, and yeah, you do. You've your targets, what you want, and you look around, you see the squads. You do. It's just natural to do that. We compare squads, and we hear that we've a very strong squad. Whereas maybe Corey, the last couple of years have always been there. Come March, start to drop off. But this year, I think we've a strong 22-man squad. A couple of really, really good young players. Well, so I think we're saying well, and if you just keep everybody fit, fingers crossed, no bad injuries, and you get a bit of luck, you just never know where it can go.
I mean, Johnny, we asked Doran after Friday night's game against Ballymena, like, you know, was this maybe arguably the strongest squad he has had as his time in Korean? And he wouldn't be drawn on it, you know, but I look at it and you look at it, the squad, and it's hard to disagree that the squad he has at this moment in time compares favourably with any that he's had in these 10-plus years in charge.
I wouldn't argue with that. And I think, you know, if you were to put that squad maybe 6-7 years ago, it would be probably one of the best in the league. And it just shows you how the league has kicked on. You know, that now you've Larne's big squad and Crusaders' and Limpid, you know, just how good a squad that all the other teams have too. So, but yeah, no, look, he's got a lot of firepower up front, and he's obviously got Connor. We've seen McConnor done on Friday night. I've never seen him. He probably made himself dizzy, never mind watching him. And then obviously, you know, you've Andy Scott, he's looking sharp and glad. So he's got a lot of creativity there too. And yeah, look, I think it's just going to be trying to cut out the silly goals at the other end. And, you know, it's not, like, conceding that goal on Friday night, it wasn't really like a goal like this, to be honest. You know, from it, usually corners we usually nearly struggle with, but not free kicks. But it was just one of them things. If we can keep the ball out in one bit, I'm really, really confident that we can do damage at the other.
Davey, how did you enjoy Friday night? It just so happened that your first game for Corian was against your former club, Ballymena, and I'm sure you're a professional, that kind of thing doesn't bother you, I suppose, but at the same time, it's one of those little quirks that happens, and you want it to play well. And I mean, how did you enjoy the experience, first of all?
Yeah, it was great. The crowd, I couldn't believe how many. I know people probably say it's cliche, or you have to say it, but there was actually a really big crowd, and it wasn't really, the place was packed. But no, to be honest, it was just an okay, for me personally, I wasn't too happy for me personally, but I was delighted for the team. I think, I think I'm still trying to find my way in the team, where my role is going to be, where I'm hanging with, as you say, you mentioned all the players there, and it's just trying to find out where fits best for me and how I can help the team. But I thought we'd be done for, considering that was our first game playing all over, because in pre-season we haven't. And formation, we haven't really been in formation pre-season. I thought going on the line was tough. We didn't start the game well. But after, I think we looked really composed and didn't panic and looked in control the whole game, to be honest.
And from your point of view, right, you're a forward, you're a striker. How excited are you playing up front in the team? Johnny mentioned you've got Conor McHenry, Andrew Scott, you've got Glax, you've got Lowry, you've got Lynch, you've got Lee Hargan coming in. I mean,
yeah,
you couldn't ask for any better in terms of hopefully guys going to supply you.
Exactly, and that's, I think that's where it's like a sort of, you have to get the technically a wee bit longer than would usually, because like last year he didn't really have that amount of quality. Like the them boys, like Glasson and Connor all night, as you see, was just unplayable. And sometimes you can try too hard in your position and you try and press too much. And I felt it was that way for me on Friday. But as I say, in a couple of weeks, hopefully Friday night, I'm playing that you can start to just find a rhythm in the team.
Well, was it you were almost trying too hard, Davey, that you were trying to force it maybe on Friday then, that because it's the first game and you just don't know where you're at?
Yeah, definitely. It's as I say, coming on the new team, playing two up front and just learning our relationship with Sheffy and seeing how he relax plays and where he goes, the positions he picks up. Trying to find out when Connor's going to pass it, which is never.
I think
it's just, it's, you sort of have to go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think there was a quote from, was it Connor maybe, said that you'd said to him, just get the ball in the box. That was your advice to him. And that's good advice, isn't it? Get the ball in the box.
Yeah, because sometimes like Connor tricks, I think Connor tricks himself, to be honest. Even for that second goal, would you want to take that out of Connor? Never. He can be the best player. He can be the best player in the league. If he does that and plays these ability, best player in the league, and he wouldn't be playing here. But as I say, as a striker for me, it's just sometimes if he's doing that and doing it, you don't know when he's going to actually cross it. But when he's playing, like, I don't care what he does. To be honest, he was unplayable. It was actually a pleasure to watch.
Very good. And what about Chevy as well? Because leading scorer in the league last year, a lot of the year he played probably that lone striker role and the guys were coming in to help support him. And you have come in this year and now you're playing like a two up front. And obviously he scored twice, but you're making some a good partnership there too, Davey. You know, it'll take that little bit of time, as you say, but you can be good for each other, I think, can't you?
Yeah, definitely. As I say, like, it's going to take a wee bit of time and a wee bit of work, like just understanding like each other's movements and how he plays. And like, he's very off the cuff. He's very off the cuff, where I've been more like thinking. And so it's just sort of trying to get that balance of where just finding each other. A couple of times it nearly happened on Friday night. But it will take time, and that hopefully it does. It'll come sooner rather than later.
It'll happen. And what about Lee Harkin? People haven't seen him yet, and I think waiting for his international clearance coming in. Dairy man like yourself, I think, came through TriStar club that you came through. I mean, do you know much about him, or what can fans expect from him?
Yeah, I knew him as a kid. I obviously knew him as a kid. And I remember the goal that he scored in the Mull Cup, and I remember that. But I haven't heard anything of him. And then he played a game, and I didn't see the game, but supposedly he was very good. And then he came into training. He's been on training now and obviously signed. And he is a proper player. He's going to be a massive asset for us, especially for the strikers. He's, how could I describe him? I don't know. He's very, very quick, very sharp, and very small.
For a defender, a defender's worst nightmare. I think that's
he is maybe a defender's worst nightmare. I tell you that.
Very good. I mean, I haven't seen him, Johnny. I think you maybe seen him in one of the preseason games as well. And I mean, do you know if his clearance will be through for this weekend or not?
Yeah, well, the clearance is through by all accounts. So by the time this podcast is out, it'll definitely be through. I think Jake Wallace's might take a wee bit more time. But yeah, no, his clearance is through. And yeah, he played against Portland that day, and he came out, and you said he looked a wee bit like Jota that played for Celtic, and it wasn't too far wrong. So, look, he was really, really good. He set up Chevy's goal that day, and he turned the boy and crossed it in and showed a wee bit of pace. So, I think if we click going forward someday with the likes of him and Andy and Glax and Connor and Davey and Chevy, we're going to be good to watch. There's another string to the bow, and at the same time too, it's probably his first season really in men's senior football, so he'll want to do well too. It really, really goes really well. And as I say, look, I think if we can get everybody fit and raring to go, and the competition for places too, it's going to be really, really exciting.
Yeah, one of the things that I picked up on with Oren's post-match comments on Friday as well was that he said that about putting bums on seats as well. He says, obviously they want to go out and get results. He says he wants a team that entertains as well. And I think when you look, particularly going forward, the talent that he has at his disposal, Johnny, I think you mentioned it there, fans, I think, are certainly going to be in for an exciting season, aren't they?
You are indeed. And, I'm lucky enough I get the team sheet maybe about an hour and 15 minutes before the game. And you have a team sheet and you see Scott in it, Glax in it, Connor in it, Chevy in it, and Davey in it. And there's five players. You're thinking, Craig, is he going like a 3-2-5 formation or something? I think with the players that he signed and the flexibility he has, he's able to go either a 4-4-2 or a 3-5-2 or a 4-3-3, whatever it may be. So he's got plenty of options. But yeah, you just mentioned him, five players as well, that started. And yeah, if they can all link up, and obviously you like Lee Lynch there as well, you can tie things up, and everyone knows that Mickey McCrudden's a good footballer too, and Lee Harkin as well. I just want to touch on something. I was really, really glad to see Big Mitch back on the pitch on Friday night as well. And I think he came on for Davey or Chevy towards the end, and it's great to see him back. And there is literally, and we all said up there, there's literally nobody else we'd love to see score a last minute goal someday to win you a game or get you a point or something. I think, he's been through a lot, and none of it was really his fault, let's be totally honest. Nobody goes out, they get injured. And yeah, fingers crossed that he can play a big part. And the same as Lee Harkin, to a different degree. Mitch has been out for a while, and he'll want to prove a point and get back on the pitch and do what he does best.
Davey, Johnny mentioned Big Mitch there, and I don't know about you. I don't think you've, from memory, too many bad injuries or whatever in your career. But, you could obviously empathise with somebody like Big Mitch there as well. He's been out of the sort of scene or out of the game for quite some time. And as a player and as a forward like yourself, it must be so hard just to keep going. And can you understand how hard it has been for him?
Yeah. I've never really been injured for long term. I'd also said his pubis when I first joined Arn, which kept me safe for quite a bit, but I'd never actually had like a proper, I don't even know what injury that is like, fair play. I was what Johnny said there, see him coming on, like I was delighted for him because he really has, see pre-season, he's really, really worked really hard. And from the first day in pre-season, the match the other day, like the improvement, I don't know if you remember him, but I remember when I first came to the league, he was like big Adriano with Dungannon. He was literally unplayable. And if we get him even literally 50-60% of that, he'll be huge for us this year. Because there's not many strikers that you get 6'1", 6'2". He can actually run like the wind if he wants to. And he's just got that physical presence. The likes of me or Lee Harkin or Mickey McCrudden don't really have. Chevy has it a bit, not to the same degree as Mitch. He's a big unit, and as I say, he's just a different option. Usually fiber is the more you have the better.
I know it's like almost like a new signing as well, because he has been off the scene for so long. But it's like what you say, if you wanted to mix it up, and because a lot of our sort of forward players are slight, in physicality. Mitch is something different, and as you say, if you can get him back anywhere close to where he was those seasons ago, you've got a hell of a player in your hands, haven't you? And for somebody like you, even if you were playing up there with him as well, he could do a lot of the that work, and you could feed off him as well.
Yeah, as I said, he's a big boy. He's a big lumpy man. Like, if he started to throw himself about, I wouldn't want to be a centre half.
All right, he's a big unit, all right. And as you say, good to get him on, and if he's back in the squad again this weekend, get him a bit more game time, get him on the pitch as well. But going back to the thing about entertaining football, Davey, and that's probably, like you mentioned, the crowd that was there on Friday night at the Ballymena game. And I suppose what Warren's saying about trying to entertain, that's reflected in the fact that there was like 3,500 people there at the opening game. I know there's a good number of fans going to travel to Loch Hall on Friday night. And that's obviously they support their club, but partly as well, the football that they're getting to see is pretty good as well. And that helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I always feel if you're winning, fans will come. If you're losing, it's I know types of football and scoring 5-6 goals. Samples out, if you're winning matches, fans will come with you. But when you add in the likes of Connor, and then you've got Glax beating men for fun, and do you know what I mean? And when they do what they do, it's Connor was, I would have paid to watch Connor on it, like, to be honest. And he, like, I'm sure fans now, especially young kids going, I want to watch him, I want to be like him, bring him for the league.
It is. It's good, and it's good to see. It's good to see. But delighted, I'm sure, Davey, to get 3 points. How important? Like, it's like first game of the season. It's all about getting that win, isn't it? Just getting points on the board, get a wee bit of momentum built up, isn't it?
Definitely. We knew, like, so a lot of people talk in pre-season matches and saying Ballymena's this, Ballymena's that. They haven't signed anybody. They haven't done this. But at the end of the day, they have a new manager and they've signed a couple of players we pointed to, and it's a derby. So anybody thought we were going to win 4-0 is off their head. Because and to be honest, I think it doesn't work like that. It never does. I think Ballymena looked actually really competitive, to be honest. Jim had them really well set up. And for us, we just knew no matter what, we just had to win. I know play well was time, but as you say, first match of the season, get 3 points, and we take it from there.
And what about how hard is it to play against Colin Coates?
I don't mind it, to be honest. I think Chevy got the fair brunt of him, to be honest. Chevy got kicked stupid.
You had the sense to stay out of the road of it.
I don't mind. It's just our paths never crossed, I don't think. I think I went over to the smaller players.
Wise man. As you say, all about getting the points. And then this Friday, second game of the season, and probably similar scenario, Davey, because you'll have fans probably sitting there going, oh, Loch Hall, way to Loch Hall. We'll win that. Easy. They were in the championship last year. Easy win. But I think if people didn't already know what they did last Saturday, went to Newry and won 3-0, had the game wrapped up after half an hour, I think that's a wee warning to everybody not to take anything for granted this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. I was actually, yes. Any fan that has been or seen like the Newry, like going to Newry is one of the toughest games to play, and they went there and won 3-0, which is very tough. I don't know how Corrine did. I know we struggled last year against them big time, but Newry's a hard place to go. I know they went through a wee bit of transition, so I'm not sure, but I just Loch Hall will be very tough for us. It's away from home. I'm not sure what their pitch is like. We are playing on their pitch. They were meant to play in Glen Evans, I think. But their pitch get approved now, so we're playing in their pitch. I'm not sure what it's like, but it'll be different from Friday night, I would say, and it'll be a tough game.
And Johnny Owen made a good point again in his post-match comments, and he literally said, you know, yes, Loch Gall were away at Newry on Saturday, and that was their first game back in the big league. But he said it won't feel like they're back in the Premiership till they have their first home game. All the excitement that brings, et cetera, et cetera. And it happens to be this Friday when Corian go visiting. So he already is aware there's going to be a whole palaver. And the players, I suppose, have to be ready for all that. It's similar in a way to Ballymena, the whole hype, the derby, the first game of the season. Something similar. And Corian are going to have to show their game management again, aren't they?
Yeah, like it's Loch Gall's first game in the top flight at home since 2007, is it? So you're nearly talking nearly 20 years. So yeah, they'll be up for it. And they'll go in with a bit of confidence too. You know, they were a good 3-0 win away at Newry, which, as David said, it's never an easy place to go. And you know, the game wrapped up within half an hour, and I'm sure you're sitting there thinking, checkers, this how easy it is. I'm only joking. But no, listen, you know, they realise that, you know, they have to beat the teams in and around them. They stay up, and if they can get in an else against the top six, it's a bonus. And we played Loch Gall in Irish Cup last year, and people need to remember they were leading at half time at the Showgrounds 1-0. So, and then we had to come back in the second half. So, yeah, look, there'll be no slouches. It's a long journey for us as well on a Friday night. So, and yeah, look, they'll be wanting to get their home campaign off to a winning way or a positive start. So, yeah, it'll definitely not be an easy one for us. And yeah, but look, we need to keep the momentum going too. I thought we played really, really well the other night. Or Friday night, sorry, for about a good 70 minutes. From 20 minutes onwards, it was only going to be one winner in our game. And if we can play the same style and play the, if we can in that pitch, so to speak, and play the same way that we can, then there's no reason why we can't win.
Does it help, Davey, do you think, from Corian's perspective, that the Loch Gall went and had a big win last Saturday? Because it helps to concentrate the mind, doesn't it? You know, if they had went out and lost on Saturday, people would be going down thinking, they've been an easy game here. But the fact of what they did, so obviously now anybody who was complacent will suddenly change their minds and think, okay, we're in a game here.
Yeah, that's the key word there, is complacency. It's not just the players too. I know what that's like. I know what's happened so many times through the years, even the cup game especially. We get complacent. You think you're going to seasons are just up. If Newry had beat Demons 2-0, 3-0, we would have went down there thinking, we're big time, we're too good. And so sometimes it does work in your favour. It changes you mentally. Where you get complacent. But it's definitely going to be a game.
Complacency is a key thing that you said. Do you think, I don't know whether you watched the game the other night, Larne 4-1 up against Dungannon at home with however long was left. I mean, I'm sure like the rest of this, you were probably, at 3-1, I think I might have switched over just thinking, that's kind of that. And I switched back, it was 4-2 and I kept watching. I mean, from Larne's point of view, David, that's a bad result, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Considering before last year, I think they conceded 19 goals. I think they conceded. They conceded 4 at home, especially at home. I know they won't be pleased at that. Like, some of the goals, to be fair, the second goal, there's not much you can do. The kid turns and puts it in the top corner. To be fair, you're probably telling them to shoot. But for the champions, they can see 4 and they're against Dungannon, who's sort of been a bit of transition as well. But all credit to Dungannon because they showed really good spirit. They came back there. I think Larne's missing. I think they're missing a couple of key players at the time as well. I think they took a couple of players off, which might have had a slight impact and a wee bit of the couple young boys on that, but even still, that's just the thing. You shouldn't be conceding 3 goals in the last 5 minutes, or what was it, 10 minutes?
I mean...
But it's good for us.
we're all watching that, and we're all like, once Dungannon sort of scored to make it 4-2, and then they make it 4-3, and you're kind of going, you know, like, and then when they drop 2 points, Larne, as you say, it's good for Corian, because like, let's face it, we're all selfish. That's what we're in the game for, to see our own team doing well. I mean, Johnny, you must have been surprised at that outcome as well. I mean, but as Davey said, it just shows you again, like, you can't take Gannon for granted. There's no complacency, because Duncannon had a go at Larne in those closing moments, and they got their reward, didn't they?
Funny, I was actually playing a tennis match in Dungannon, and I looked at the phone and it was 4-1, and then a mate texted me saying Larne just got battered there, and I was like, I just left the phone thinking, like, he's obviously got Larne and Dungannon mixed up, and then flicked through Twitter on the way home seeing it was 4-each and couldn't believe my eyes. So yeah, I've watched the highlights, and your boy Ben Gallagher's goal is an absolute torpedo. But they have that in the locker. You have to give them credit, because you know, you have to think of how many times teams, when they're 4-1 down, they bring on an extra defender or midfielder, shut up shop, lick their wounds, take the 4-1 and go home, or try and, you know, damage the limitations. But, you know, they went for it and got their goals. And yeah, look, the equaliser is not the prettiest goal you ever see, but a goal is a goal. So that goal is just the same as Ben Gallagher's goal. So, no, yeah, look, they definitely have the firepower there and players that can hurt you. But for Larne, you know, I think it was 22 goals or something conceded in last year in the league, and they nearly conceded a fifth of that in one match. So it was crazy. But yeah, look, you the knee on the head, when the top six teams play the bottom six teams, you're wanting them to, you know, you want them to drop points, and that's just how it is. So, you know, when Glenavon are playing Glentoran on Saturday, you're hoping for a draw, and you know, and obviously Glentoran scored. So it's the same for other teams. When, you know, when we were playing Ballymena, I'm sure those teams were wanting Ballymena to get a result against us.
Every team was cheering on Ballymena for sure.
I was just thinking, Davey Johnny was never a striker, obviously, because he was bemoaning the quality of the fourth goal. As a striker, you would take them all day long, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, if you look at my career is gluttered on them.
Absolutely.
Oh, I wasn't bemoaning it. I was a goal.
No, maybe not bemoaning it, but you were saying the quality wasn't maybe as good as Ben Gallagher, which is true. But when you make a career out of scoring goals from 2-3 yards or whatever, that's
100%. They're the best.
Ali McCoist made a career out of it. They are, as you well know.
Yeah, they're the best type of goals for a striker. Just the ones you just follow in. And you know, Chevy probably got a lot of goals on Friday night, because he's ran to the back post. He's created a bit of space. He stayed onside. Everyone thought he was on. When you see the angle, he's a mile onside. He's in the space and he's gobbled them up. So, those are perfect ones for a striker.
They are. And just looking, you were talking about Larne and Glens in the same sentence. They both play on Friday night there, Davey. Just looking, Larne go to the Oval. Like, I mean, if Larne don't get a positive result there, that's a pretty ropey old start to their defence of their league. I know it's early, obviously, but even so.
Yeah, it's funny we're talking about that. Me and a couple of players were talking about that. Yesterday, I think it was. Yeah, so it is early, but if you're going there and Glentoran get a win, then Larne lose. Like, that's 5 points drop for Larne, which it's not the best start. But as I say, it rolls reverse. If they beat Glentoran, they're rivals. They're big rivals. They're money rivals kind of thing, if you get me. If they beat them, Monday night's forgot about.
Yeah.
You know, so it's very early doors. But for us personally, we have to get on free.
Exactly. You just have to concentrate on yourselves. Go down there, lock all, get the 3 points, and then you're sitting there, 2 games played, 6 points, hopefully. And that's important, Davey, isn't it? Because that just pulls everybody together, just the confidence then to move on from that. And then like, your way to Carrick on the Tuesday. So you start rolling in the games in a winning habit. And yeah, you know, who knows what can happen? You get a good early start to the season and then you get out in front. Who knows? That's what you're looking for, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think last year Owen touched on this in pre-season, and I think from the outside looking in last year, the Corey went through like a massive transition of players, and you can see the team was gelled together. You can see we played them early on and they played good football, but they weren't as a team kind of thing. Whereas this season, it's been small turnover of players. Everybody's been in pre-season together. It's been a lot more gelled. And I do think that even on Friday night, in the second half, I think we looked really like a team. And hopefully it doesn't take 9-10 games. So if you're saying you get a couple more ones on the bounce, like you don't like looking too far ahead, but as you say, you never know where it takes you, but you have to be trying to pick up 3 points against Loughall just to keep going.
Which obviously isn't easy. Johnny, in a previous life career for you, you would cover Loughall quite a bit. I think you're pally with Dean Smith down there, the Loughall manager and stuff. You wouldn't argue it's going to be a tight place to go, isn't it?
Yeah, especially because, you know, a lot of our players would have probably never played there. I don't know if Davey has, for example, has ever played a Loughall. So there's going to be, you know, so yeah, it's going to be a tough game. There's no doubt about it. It's their first home game. They're back with a good win and on Saturday. So yeah, their first home game, as I said. So yeah, look, I think can't take anything for granted. Just go there and get the job done. Whether it's an ugly 1-0 or 2-0, whatever it may be, just try and leave with a win and have another pleasant weekend where I like football.
And an ideal situation, Davey to score his first goal back at the club, and then Mitch to score his, is just to round off a perfect evening. I mean, from a striker, Davey, you always hear, you know, strikers, they just want to get off the mark for the season, don't they? That's always what they say.
Yeah, definitely. Ideally, I obviously playing against Ballymena, it would have been great for me to score against the whole team. No sort of, because obviously me come from Ballymena as well. And obviously, my time at Larne, I think I wouldn't be Corian's fans' number one choice or number one likable player. They won't be getting McDade in the back of our tops. But no, I would love, that's what I'd love to do. I'd love to score a couple of early goals this year and try and win over a couple of fans. Just to score a couple and prove me worth, kind of thing.
I mean, do you feel that some fans kind of won't take to you because you were played for Ballymena last year? Have you felt that, or is that just...
No, definitely. It's not just because of Ballymena. I think it's more so a Larne.
You seem to score every time you play.
Yeah. The celebration, don't get me wrong, it's not I'm not holding it against them or not saying like I would hit me as well.
I would definitely
hit me for all celebrations a couple of years and stuff like that, but yeah, exactly, that's the celebration.
but isn't that just football? And like, if you go and score the winner on Friday night, it would be the best thing since sliced bread.
I guess the celebration I'll do.
Eh?
I'm going to do the celebration.
Right, we will look forward to that celebration come Friday night. Hopefully Friday night, if all things go
Fingers
well.
Crossed.
Fingers crossed. I mean, Johnny, I mean, you're laughing because when we used to play Larne and all and Ballymena, like, you did always think Davey was going to score against you, or Corian, didn't you?
It just always seems to be like Jamie, even when Jamie McGonigal was at the Cruise, they always seemed to score against Corian. Ben Doherty always scored against Corian. Davey always scored against. It's just if you leave Corian, you might as well just score against us. So, you know, hopefully, not all of the Corian players. But like, you know, it's just weird how that happens. Then you look at Conor McKendry, he scored a fair few goals against Larne. It's just weird how things just work out like that. It's just weird. I don't even know if it's subconsciously in players' mind. I've never been a footballer, but as a fan, you always say he's going to score against us today. You just know. It's just a weird feeling.
It is a weird thing, and I maybe it's because those players that you mentioned get stick from, say, the Korean fans, which maybe gives those players that you're talking about, Ben and Davey, that extra little bit of a kick, you know, to sort of put one over on them, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I suppose so. But football is just, you give it and you take it. So if you give players a bit of stick and they score, you know, they're obviously going to celebrate in front of you. There's no, you know, where, you know, do they expect just to get a bit of stick for 90 minutes, and if they score, give nothing back? So I've never been one for players not celebrating scoring against their former team. I don't get it. You know, they're not paying their wages anymore. You know, so they train with their teams every week. You know, they do their own thing and they look after themselves, and playing football, showcasing their ability. So if they score a goal, why wouldn't you celebrate it? You know,
the way I look at it, if you dish it out, you got to take it back.
100%. Yeah, I've never ever realized why players don't celebrate scoring as a form. I don't. Maybe they leave in good terms, 100%. But I still don't get it.
Unfortunately, David didn't manage it against Ballymena, but there's time yet. That'll come. I just noticed we play Larne on the 19th of August.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a big one.
You can score against them. That would be all right.
I can see his big smile there. He's smiling.
Yeah, I don't know who I'd prefer to score against, Ballymena or Larne. I don't know.
Any mid and East London club will do, rightly. Through Carrick.
Yeah, definitely.
Carrick next Tuesday.
Are you still living? Are you living in Larne, then, David? Are you living in Larne?
I still live in Larne. Yeah.
How did you? Was it mixed emotions seeing them win the league? Was it mixed emotions for you? Are you happy for them, or what's?
Definitely mixed emotions. It. If they say it didn't hurt, I would be lying. It definitely hurt. Especially me just leaving, and it was my choice. So leaving that, it definitely hurt me, but I was absolutely delighted as well, because I knew how much work people put in. Like, yeah. I knew what was going on behind the scenes and what's going on. I called Tiernan and everything when I was leaving, but he was the first person to text when they won the league, because I actually was so happy for him, because anybody that puts in that amount of work deserves credit. Like,
mm-hmm. And then you were at Ballymena last year, big DJ as well. I mean, that was a whole different situation too, I suppose, going from Larne to Ballymena. And frustrating year for you probably at Ballymena last year?
Yeah, definitely. To be honest, people like my family and that have said, oh, but you know, because to be honest, I nearly joined Corrine last year. People are saying, oh, would you not wish? And I'm glad I joined Ballymena. I'm really happy that, because I met Jeffries and I actually played on them. And I met like a friend for life, because he's a special man. I've never met anybody like him, to be honest. He's a special man. Me and him still contact each other every day, talking. I'm delighted I actually went there and worked under him. I can see why so many people love him.
Do you think DJ will get back into management? Do you think that's him? Do you think he's happy enough to stay out of it? Or
no, he'll be back. He'll be back. Unfortunately, he's his wife now, Rose, she's not well at the moment. She's just so that sort of pit. I think he had something lined up, but he sort of put it in the back burner now, I'd say, for the rest of the year. I'd say maybe if something come up after January, you never know. You know what I mean? A lot of people get sacked around December, January time. He'll be the first on people's list.
Yeah, would agree with you. Would agree. It'd be a great day. As a Linfield and Ballymena manager, you should automatically not like the fella, but there is something likeable about him, which is really annoying.
See, honestly, from the outside looking in, and people talking about, see, actually, as a person, like just as a person, like football idiot, he's just different. He's just different class. He is. I'll go on record now saying Ballymena would have been relegated last year if he was a manager. Fact. That's a fact. Like what he did last year for players, how he kept us going. Like we lost 14 games in a row and got us to the cup final. And to be honest, I don't know how he did it or how he kept us going. But if it was anybody else, any other manager ain't doing that.
What about yourself? Like the way you're talking about management and managers, and you're doing coaching yourself, would you be interested in becoming a manager once you finally hang up your boots, Davey?
Yeah, definitely. That's the journey I'm on. I've just done my B license there. Well, sorry, my B and A, the B and A pro license there. So I haven't finished it yet, so I'll be finished this time next year. But that's definitely the path.
Was it you in the course with Big Senderos? Did I see you with Big Senderos at 1 AM?
Yeah. So I done the course with Big Felipe Senderos. I was trying to tell that man how to defend 1v1. That was good.
He was telling us he speaks five different languages, so You maybe need to speak some Swedish or some language that he doesn't speak to, you know, maybe confuse him.
Yeah, he's a very intelligent man, but he's very level headed, very nice, sound.
Yeah.
He's good. He's very good. He was a general manager in his hometown team in Switzerland, and has just left it. Maybe he wants to go be a proper manager somewhere. So that's why he was on the course.
Very good, very good. Well, when you become a manager, you're very fortunate because you play under some great managers, like you mentioned, Tiernan, DJ, Oren, and it's like many players, you just pick up little bits from each of them, I guess. Is that how you do it?
Yeah, definitely. And worked under Stephen Kenny as well, Derry. He was top of the pops, to be fair. He was brilliant. So you've worked under good ones, you've worked under bad ones, but if you take the wee best part from all I am at my end, it would be unbelievable. But of course, management, everybody's and I'll just try and when I get that age, I need to focus more on the football than the coaching part or hang. But sometimes it helps.
Listen, it's even the bad ones, you learn what not to do probably as much as learn from the good ones as well, I think, as well. So, well, here, hopefully, Davey, the manager job won't be for a while. Hopefully, you've got another good couple of years left in the plan. I mean, contract-wise, how long? Was it 2 or 3 years did you sign?
It was 3 years, yeah. So, I'm only 32 now. I think I've been around now a long time, so I think people maybe think I'm older than what I'm are. I'm only 32, so by the time I'll be done, this contract runs out for 5. I'll not be stopping anytime soon.
Good.
I can tell you that.
Good. Glad to hear it. Well, here, guys, that's been a great old hours chat there. Thankfully, we got off to a winning start on Friday. Another Friday game. 3 points, that's it. Davey, Johnny, doesn't matter how we do it. It's, yes, entertainment is a bonus, but ultimately it's about getting the 3 points. And for you personally, Davey, well, hopefully you get up and running for the season.
Fingers crossed.
Take some of the spotlight off that Chevy boy.
Yeah, his head getting too big. Sitting beside him in the ring.
Very good. Well, see, when you have the two of these, like, would you have a little, without maybe even mention it, but would you have a little private competition between each of you just to see who would score the most over the current season?
Funny enough, I told him Friday night going out the match, I'm finishing top goal scorer in the league this year. And he started laughing.
You have a bit of catching up.
So I'm not passing the ball. That's only 2 goals. That's all right.
Aye, even Caelan Lochran's got more than you.
Oh,
I know. My big mucker, Caelan.
He scored 2 as well. Him and Chevy, the leading goal scorers. He was laughing about it in his post-match interview. I've seen it. It was very funny. So, good for him.
You don't have Ronan Hayes for a load of time, so... You don't have a bit.
Yeah, well, between you and Chevy, you can have your own little battle. If you just keep scoring the twos, then we'll not be far away, Johnny. I think that's the bottom line. The two of them can work away, and we'll, as long as we keep them out at the other end, we'll not be far away come the end of the season.
Yeah, let them two fight out. It's really good for Korean. So them two can punch each other in the change room and then go out in the pitch and try and score. So that's everyone's a winner when it comes to that. So, I think Davey will bring the best out of Chevy and Chevy will bring the best out of Davey. I think, as Davey said there at the start of the show there, probably just take a wee bit of time to play with each other. And then once they all link up, it'll be good to watch. And it'll be a wee bit weird for Chevy too, because he'd mainly up front his own most of the last season too. So it'll be weird for him to maybe have somebody up beside him as well. So, no, yeah, look, I think it'll be exciting. Obviously, Davey's smart. He's cute. He's a bit of experience there. And pass everyone on the Chevy. So yeah, it'll be. If once they click, it'll be good to watch.
And when you do score, Davey, I'm just wondering, is it going to be the same celebration or what have you got lined up if you got in?
Yeah, I'm going to see we're all Korean fans. I'm going to cut the ears. But I hope they take it as a joke. I hope they don't say that now that they're going to take it as a joke and not throw stuff at me.
The first goal since Corian have scored, like Roy Patterson scored one day for us after they signed for the Glens and they get booed and he scored four times. So it'll be the first goal that's been scored. It might get a few boos at you, David, you know.
Oh, I don't think there'll be any boos. I think they'll be all. I think they'll all be all right as long as they're scoring goals. I don't think it really matters. Well, here, guys, David, thank you very much for giving up your time. A pleasure to have you on. Great to have you back at the club again. I can't believe it's been 10 years between shifts, as it were. But listen, you know, you're only 32. The best years are ahead of you, aren't they?
Yep, that's Stevie Lowry.
Indeed. He's 40. He's like a good wine. So, I mean, Johnny, you know, great to see Davey back, really, isn't it? I mean, he's a player that you've admired for a long time and you've always been jealous of the fact that he hasn't been playing for Corian, but now he's here, so you're obviously understandably happy about that.
Yeah, look, I think you can never have too many goal scorers in your team, so it's good to get another one in. And as I said there a couple of months ago, I think it's good foil for Chevy too, and Davey, you know, working under Oren and Colin, and a few things have changed. A few things probably haven't changed as Davey's seen these come back. So, familiar surroundings. He's got about 15 former Larne teammates they keep in company to. They have any bus from Larne to Corian soon. So, not this, no. Look, it's good to get Davey back. And here's hoping that he can have a really, really good spell with us and score a lot of goals and stuff like that. So I think it was 21. I think I read before come on, he had 7 goals in 21 games in his first spell. So 1-3, Davey, that's what you have to beat. So there you go.
Well, one career I've got, I think it's 1-2 or 1-2.5. I think it's 240 goals or something like that in 550 games, something like that. So
to be fair, it was a different Corian back then when you were playing then. We were struggling in the bottom end of the table. Things are somewhat different now, and you've got any number of wingers and forwards putting in balls for you. We hope if Connor gets the ball into the box like he's meant to. Who knows? We will wait and see. But here, great to chat to you. Best of luck at the weekend on Friday. Hopefully we get off to we hope we get a second win on the road, and sets us up nicely then for what's going to be a busy end of August as well. So Davey, thank you very much for your time. Johnny, thank you.
No problem, pleasure.
Thank you, and thank you, Johnny, for your time. And also, we started with the new sponsors. Just like to thank them again, Lodge Hotel Corian, for all what you want in a town centre hotel. Call into the Lodge Hotel, perfect place for pre-match lunch or pints or whatever it is. So thank you to them for their sponsorship. Thank you to everybody who listens to the podcast and gets in touch with us. First of the new season, so only another 37 league games, weeks to go, Johnny, so yep. Strap in for a long season.
Yeah, we'll have plenty of people to bore for the next 37 weeks. So,
Thanks everyone for
tuning in and cheers to the Davey first time. So, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you all very much for listening, and we will see you again next week. So, till then, come on the Bandsiders.